This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:36 in the morning, Monday, 19th of April, and you're listening to Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiao Ning, and this, of course, joined with Philip C. This morning, we are running a poll on Twitter asking you, what form of government aid is most effective in tackling urban poverty? And there are four choices: cash transfers, food provisions, entrepreneurship aid, and others. Do let us know what you think. This poll will be running till 9 a.m. But in the meantime, in about half an hour, we're going to have the breakfast grill. What's the topic today, Philip?
Well, today's topic is pretty dark. Lynn Mark is speaking to Tom Burgess. He's the author of Kleptopia: How Dirty Money is Conquering the World. Now, in Malaysia, we are no stranger to the complexity and the perils of dirty money. Look no further than the 1MDB scandal. But Malaysia is far from the only country implicated in what the author Tom Burgess calls a global kleptocracy. In his latest book, Burgess highlights the interconnectivity of global corruption and what it means for economic and democracies around the world.
Interesting stuff. So do tune in after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, we're shifting our attention to India, because what we do know is that there's a shortage of hospital beds and oxygen supply there. And it has become one of the countries hardest hit by COVID-19, second only to the United States in terms of total cases. As a result, part of the countries like New Delhi and have actually imposed fresh lockdowns in an effort to curb the spread of the disease.
The situation in India is extremely concerning, as many have been unable to receive healthcare. Now, the return of lockdowns also raises concerns over the welfare of the poorest members of its society. Plus, India is the world's largest vaccine manufacturer. This means the spiraling outbreak in the nation is also bad news for the rest of the world. So how is Prime Minister Narendra Modi going to handle this crisis?
So for some insights into this, we have on the line this morning Pradeep Taneja, Senior Lecturer in Asian Studies at the University of Melbourne. Thanks for joining us this morning, Pradeep. Now, cases of COVID-19 in India were on the downtrend for months, but then suddenly increased exponentially earlier this year. What went wrong?
Morning, Xiao Ning. Morning, Kuala Lumpur. In fact, you're right. I mean, India was doing fairly well. India's COVID cases peaked in around, I think, mid-September last year, and after that dropped to below 10,000 a day, you know, by the middle of February. And I think what's happened is that a complacency set in. A lot of people kind of felt that, okay, this was now almost over, we've overcome it. And also the government opened everything up. The shopping malls were open, schools were open, universities were open. So there was a sense of complacency that, look, we've overcome this. And also because compared to other countries, India's fatality rate was relatively low. And there was a sense that, look, there's already a herd immunity developing in India. So there's really a combination of factors. There's COVID fatigue, there's complacency, and also I think there is a lot of new strands of this virus, new variants, which have, you know, particularly contributed to the recent spike in the number of cases.
So many strands, multiple complexities, but how would you rate Prime Minister Modi's administration in handling this latest wave of infections?
Very poor, very poor. In fact, Prime Minister Modi has not set a very good example. He has been campaigning. As you probably know, India is currently in the middle of an election in five states. India's 30 plus states are going through elections. And instead of, you know, refraining from organizing large rallies in states like West Bengal, for example, Calcutta or Kolkata, as it is called now, is one of the world's most congested cities. And Prime Minister Modi has been addressing huge rallies in cities like Calcutta, which is certainly not what the doctors would recommend. So I think Prime Minister Modi has not set a very good example, and therefore I would give him 3 out of 10 on this.
But like you say, West Bengal is undergoing elections, which some say will be the litmus test of Modi's Hindu national reach. So how do you think his handling of the pandemic has impacted his popularity or that of his party, especially in recent months?
That's still early to say because, for example, the election results are not going to be announced until the 2nd of May. So we don't know whether the voters will be put off by the poor handling of COVID, particularly, you know, more recently. But Prime Minister Modi has been a kind of a Teflon prime minister. I mean, nothing seems to stick. No criticism seems to stick. But I think this time things might be different because there have been just far too many cases. There is almost a panic in India at the moment. Most people are worried about protecting their families, their children. And this could, in fact, change things for Prime Minister Modi.
Now, I just want to shift our conversation to the economy because in addition to New Delhi, the state of Maharashtra also was in a lockdown. And that's where Mumbai is, right? And they have been the worst hit by the disease. So how do you feel, how do you think this impact will, this COVID crisis will have on the Indian economy?
I think it will have, a significant impact, even though Indian economy had, returned to almost normal. But this recent spike in COVID cases in Maharashtra, which is, as you rightly said, is the industrial hub of India, Bombay or Mumbai is the commercial capital of India, but also capital Delhi has been very badly affected, particularly in the last few weeks. So I think altogether, this is going to have a significant impact on the Indian economy. It's difficult to put it in terms of, percentage, decline in GDP growth or anything. Too early for that, but I think it will definitely have an impact. From Mumbai, for example, we have seen many of the migrant workers. Mumbai relies on workers from poorer states of India in the east, for example, from Bihar and Chhattisgarh and Jharkhand, and many of these workers have decided to go back. So although we haven't seen the same kind of exodus from Bombay as we saw at the beginning of COVID-19 outbreak in March last year, but still, there have been a lot of workers who have been leaving the city. So for a variety of reasons, I think we are going to see a fairly sizable impact on the economy.
But at the same time, I mean, there have been lockdowns in certain cities, but we do know lockdowns face certain very stern criticism because they impact the poorest citizens. So on the flip side, what kind of assistance has the government been able to hand out and will they be able to supply any more help? Is there any fiscal headroom?
Well, government did, particularly after the outbreak in March last year, government did introduce new schemes. For example, it is providing rice and, essential foods to the poor people. So there is a system which seems to be working reasonably well in terms of delivery of, basic assistance. But the problem at the moment is that people want to be protected from COVID-19, which is the biggest challenge for most families, most individuals in India at the moment. And there are shortages, as you said at the beginning of this interview, you said there are shortages of hospital beds, there is shortage of oxygen in hospitals, and there's shortage of essential medicine. Despite India being, the pharmacy of the world, but there are shortages of certain medicines in India at the moment. So this is, creating a fair bit of panic in Indian society.
I want to bring up the point you said that India is known as the pharmacy of the world. So the surge really does have serious repercussions for the rest of the globe. Now, India seems to be prioritizing its own citizens' vaccinations. What are the unique challenges in rolling out a mass vaccination campaign across India?
I mean, first of all, is the challenge is training enough people to administer COVID vaccines and then having enough, centers where these vaccines can be administered. So that's one challenge, simply developing the capacity, opening up enough vaccination centers where vaccines can be, put in people's arms in a safe and hygienic manner. The second problem at the moment is there is a kind of vaccine hesitancy in India, and it's not related to any religious factors, unlike, in some societies where religion may play a part. In India, it's not so much religion. I think it is more people are getting these reports from overseas about clotting. Most people in India are being vaccinated with the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is being produced in India by the Serum Institute of India. And so people have been hearing these reports from other countries in Europe, for example, where a number of countries have stopped using AstraZeneca. So there is a bit of hesitancy on that account, but there is also another reason. A lot of Indians rely on natural remedies, things like, Ayurvedic medicine or homeopathy. And a lot of people who rely on these, you know, alternative medicine are also reluctant to have the vaccine, and which is going to cause problems, particularly people living in high-rise flats or apartments. And if you know, even if a small percentage of people refuse to be vaccinated, it is going to cause problems for others.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Pradeep Taneja, Senior Lecturer in Asian Studies at the University of Melbourne. You know, it's a rather sombering topic today, India and how COVID-19 is really impacting society. I saw an article over the weekend saying that as a result, you might actually see the erosion of the middle class in India because it's really impacting the economy. But even in terms of the healthcare, it's really, you know, the healthcare system in India is almost at breaking point, right? There are not enough hospital beds. Oxygen supplies are very, very low. And Pradeep told us that basically the Modi score in terms of handling this 3 out of 10.
I mean, you draw parallels to Malaysia where we talk about support for the poor and it's about income support. How do we make sure we're generating, you know, and opening up the markets a bit? That's always the tension here. But in India, it's such a different story. It's really about providing the essentials, getting the basics right, because it's really a lot of the economy is informal.
Yes.
So you can't track and trace. And that's the biggest challenge for India.
And lockdowns are, you know, there's a huge cost to the poorest, right? Because they're on a daily wage. So a lot of difficult choices, I think, India has to face. But Amlix, even in Malaysia, how can we better tackle urban poverty? Something we'll be discussing later. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.